Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you today. While Gil tries to help me get writing implements, we can start. Excellent. Thank you very much. And first of all, I'm glad I didn't erase the board. I don't know why I didn't, but I'm glad I didn't. And just for any of you who didn't get those passages or weren't here last Sunday, I would encourage you to get those passages recorded. And again, the point was, last week we were talking about just growing in a mindset of creative and passionate enjoyment of God, and expressing that to Him, and then sharing that and expressing that with each other. So, to me, that was particularly enjoyable. Patty, as you described, you were in that passage, and out of that bubbling enjoyment of what God was expressing of His love for you, that then it got expressed to somebody else and blessed perhaps many others. We know at least it blessed someone. And that's part of this recognition. Somebody needs your encouragement in your life, in your circle of relationships, your circle of relatives, your circle of friends, your circle of neighbors, your circle of co-workers. Somebody needs your encouragement, and they don't just need human encouragement. They need something supernatural that will take them, as we were just praying, that will take them to a level of hope and healing, to see something possible for their lives that is outside the scope of what they can do themselves. And for that, they need to hear something about the joyful power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I'm going to encourage you, keep looking at those passages, meditating on them, and gather your own library. The point of these passages, Psalm 139, John 17, Romans 8, Ephesians 3, Jeremiah 29, 11. The point of those passages was remembering some of the ways that God has expressed His love for you. I'm erasing them. Did I hear a no? So if by some chance you didn't get those copied down, ask me afterwards or ask somebody else who did get them. But please keep building on that. Those are a few that are really personal for me. Keep gathering your own. I'm going to write something there before the service is over, and I just need to remember to put it there so that I don't forget. But what we're looking at here continues into our study today. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So as we looked last week at growing in that passionate and creative expression of delight in God and awareness of His love for us, and then sharing that with others, he goes on in verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. One of the things that I think we have to deal with as believers is recognizing that God doesn't exaggerate. And a lot of times I think we read Scripture as if God got a little carried away and He exaggerated a little bit. And, you know, just in the poetic fervor of the moment, He just overstated the case. That will not be true. There may be all kinds of things we need to grow in understanding why He said it the way He said it. But God does not exaggerate. He does not overstate the case. He never has to apologize later. Sometimes I have to apologize. I'm sorry, I misspoke myself. What politician came up with that phrase? I misspoke myself. I spoke as a not me or something. I don't know what that means. I misspoke myself. But what I can say is, I sometimes overstate a case. I sometimes understate a case. There are times where in my sinfulness and my imperfection, I don't nail the truth dead on. God always nails the truth. He always nails the truth. So let's look at this passage with that recognition, where he says, always. Let me just pull it straight back or tighten it or something so that don't want to destroy any musical instruments back there.
Rotate. See if I screwed up your...
Okay, good. It's working. Okay. Always. And then he adds this phrase a little bit. All things. To give thanks. Giving thanks. To God, even the Father. So let's look at this for a second, recognizing a couple of things. First of all, the always and the all things, God is not misspeaking himself. He's not exaggerating. He didn't actually get it a little bit wrong, and we have to sort of correct it for him. Which I've heard sermons helping God correct his statement here. And he's saying something that we get to ponder and try to figure out, why is this true? Why do I get to give thanks to God, the Father, always and in all things? But he has a real important phrase here. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this whole phrase, this whole passage, only hangs together if we keep all the pieces. So that we can always and in all things give thanks to the Father out of this, because of this, on the foundation of this. So, always in all things, and we've talked about this before. In fact, we talked about this not that long ago, and we came at it from a slightly different way. And I almost... as I frequently do, I was almost going to say, well, God, we did just cover thankfulness just a few weeks ago, I believe. Although my sense of time is distorted. It might have been months. It really is. But not that long ago, Father, we talked about thankfulness. Why don't we just skip it this time? And part of what keeps hitting me as we're going through the book of Ephesians, if God repeats something, I'm assuming he wants us to think about it again. So that's why we're looking at it again. And hopefully we'll gather some new things and see some new layers to this. But he's saying in all things, there is something that I will always be able, in all things, to give thanks to God for. And I want to look at this phrase, in the name of Jesus Christ, as the foundation why this makes sense. Why it's pursuable to look in every situation. Now, we also just talked... go back to Colossians chapter 3, which we had as our reading a little earlier. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, that incredible chapter about where our life really is and what that means and how that changes us. And down in verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And the reason I wanted to go to that passage, because in that short little bit, he reiterates thankfulness three different times. That it is crucial to the mindset of what he's talking about. So he reiterated a lot of what we talked about last week. Of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that would have an upbuilding effect. That your life in Christ should proceed forward because of the things I share with you. And my life in Christ should proceed forward because of the things you share with me. Out of your creative and passionate enjoyment of God. Out of your solid growing awareness that he loves you and you want to let me know how I'm loved. That should move us forward. And in that mindset, he keeps reiterating in verse 15, and be thankful. In verse 16, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. And in verse 17, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So thankfulness, again, permeates this passage that if I'm really growing in my awareness of God, and I'm really singing from my heart the truth of the way the universe truly is for me as a son of God or as a daughter of God, If that growing awareness fills me, thankfulness is a natural part of it.
I worked with, I'm continuing to work with a number of people in counseling. Actually, more people keep coming to mind while I'm saying it. But let me try to focus on a couple. That where one husband said he loves going to church with his wife. And that's a nice way to start a phrase about a marriage, right? I love going to church with my wife. But the rest of the sentence was, because that's the only place where she sounds positive. It says, when she's at church, she praises God. She tells people what God's doing. She thanks God for things. He says, and then we go home, and all week long, all I hear are the complaints. And he said, I feel like it's two different women. And what this passage is saying is, that shouldn't be true for us. We should be one person who's thankful always in all things. And it shouldn't change because we got away from our Jesus group. It shouldn't change because we got away from the church. That in our private life, in our family life, when you're sitting around the dinner table with your family, when you're looking over the bills and the budget with your wife or your husband, when you're sitting there over the bed of a sick child, that in all things, we're learning this truth because we believe there's more than what we see physically. So part of it, that recognition, and I'm not, I'm hoping that that's not true for anybody here. That what this husband was complaining about, that we are consistent. And when we're growing, if we're just growing in thankfulness, that's growing across the board. We're not just more thankful when we're believers. We're not just thankful when we're outside the house, but that we're thankful in the house. That our children should overhear us talking and know that we're thankful. That our husband or wife should overhear us talking and know that we're thankful. That our friends should hear us talking and know that we're thankful. That it becomes a normal part of our life. Now, I want to go in so many directions, but let's go to this one. In the name of Jesus Christ. And this phrase fits real well with the idea of a diplomat. So if the United States sets up an embassy someplace, they place a diplomat in that embassy. And now that embassy, the territory of that embassy, represents the United States. And one of the ways that nations, quote, you know, try to maintain the peace in some ways, is we honor the sanctity of each other's embassy. So presumably, every place in the world where the United States have an embassy, that's actually United States territory. It might be in Russia, it might be in Bolivia, it might be wherever, but that tiny little section of land belongs to the United States. And presumably, other nations can't invade it. And presumably, everyone who's in there is under the safety and protection of the United States. And that we honor that for other nations as they establish their embassies here. So I want to look at that because we would recognize when a diplomat speaks, the president, or his secretary of state or somebody calls up that diplomat, that American diplomat in that foreign nation and says, I need you to speak with the president there. I need you to speak with the representative of that government. And you tell them this for me. And you tell them this is our policy. And you tell them this is our stand. And you give them this promise. And you describe this boundary or barrier. You tell them for me. So that when that diplomat steps into the presence of that other king, or that dictator, or that queen, or that president, they stand in place of the president of the United States. They represent and need to be treated with the honor and the recognition they speak for the president. That's worth us recognizing a few things. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13.
And it's interesting. I didn't notice this before. But verse 12, right above where we're going to start, still talks about giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Then he goes into 13 and he says, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we represent his kingdom. We And go back to Ephesians, but back to chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now that passage follows the fact that in chapter 1, he said that Jesus had been raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father. And that that position was accomplished by power on top of power on top of power. So we now represent, we are in the position of his power, his position at the right hand of the Father, and his authority. This is not a little thing that God has just described. And again, because we're in Ephesians, we've been over this several times. This is not a little thing. This is supposed to change the way we think about our lives. This is supposed to change the way we're going to think what we face this week. That, Father, I'm going to be thankful to you, and I'm going to be thanking you particularly in this recognition. I will operate in the power, the authority, and the position of Jesus Christ at your right hand while I face my week, and while I face all things and all ways. While I'm facing those things, I'm going to remember this, and it's going to change the way I face the moment. It's going to change the way I face this moment. Now, go over back to Luke. Luke 21. It's where Jesus is talking about a lot of hard things concerning the end days. Starting at verse 12. Before all these things, all these horrible things that he's predicted, before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. Now, I wanted to put that we operate under his protection. And this might sound like I just lost my mind to choose this passage for that point. This is where Jesus promised that many of us might lose our lives because we're operating in his name. Where he predicted that many believers will stand, will be dragged into court and dragged before rulers and kings to give testimony to who Jesus Christ is, and that we would be persecuted, tortured, and possibly even killed. This is a strange passage for protection, except for what Jesus adds to it when he says, but remember that not a hair on your head will perish. How can he say that? You might lose your whole head. And now he says many believers will face that in the last days. They will literally be decapitated as the enemy's outrage against their stand for Jesus Christ. And yet God is saying not a hair of your head will be threatened in any way. You cannot be destroyed when you operate in this name. You're under my protection. That when you're operating in my name and for my purposes, that even when you face that moment of persecution, even when you face the moment where you might literally lose your life, give thanks. Give thanks at that moment. So we're going to have to get to more to understand why we need to give thanks in that moment. But he's saying, if your mind There is something real that has been kept and preserved and protected that the enemy cannot touch. And our mindset, if we're going to give thanks in all things, this is a crucial change of mindset for us. This body is not the main thing I need for joy in life. My house is not the main thing I need for joy in life. My car, my bank account, my reputation, my standing in the community, my career, my ministry. None of those things are crucial for my purpose and joy in life. Because this world might have the authority to take all of those away should God grant them that authority. And he will still say, Reg, start thanking me always in all things while they take that stuff away. Because none of that stuff is really you. And none of that stuff is really your treasure. Not even your physical body. That's not the real you, and that's not your real treasure. And if we don't get that mindset, then we're going to have a whole lot of times when we think, I shouldn't thank God now. Right now, he's allowing the world, or my health, or my finances, or something to come against me in a damaging way. I don't have anything to be thankful for. And we will be wrong. God did not exaggerate. He didn't overstate the case. He said, if you see further and deeper, you will understand that there is something to be thankful for me. There was something to be thankful for to me. And be ready for that moment, because every one of us will face those moments. Every one of us will face moments when good treasures are threatened. And we have to remember that that good treasure is not my real treasure. That real treasure isn't the real me, and it's not my real eternal treasure. And that the enemy has no power to touch. He has literally no power to touch. Now, in the moment of sorrow, in the moment of grief, in the moment of robbery, in the moment of destruction, it's real hard to think that way. It's real hard to think that way. That's why you have to be making melody in your heart and sharing it with me, because I might be right at that moment and need the reminder of truth. And I don't need you to soft pedal it. I need you to state it clearly with power and authority. I need you to tell me the truth about the power of God at the moment of my sorrow. And I think, unfortunately, in our modern world, a lot of times as Christians, we've mistaken sensitivity to where someone is, and we've traded that for soft-pedaling the power of the truth. When our friends are going through real loss and grief, they get to remember that God is faithful. We still get to weep with them. In fact, Scripture makes it real clear that part of our brotherhood and sisterhood is when you're weeping and sorrowing, I need to share that with you. And when I'm weeping and sorrowing, you need to share that with me. I may not need to see you smiling right at the moment when my most dearest person in life, my wife, my daughter, my best friend has died. I might not need you smiling. I might need you weeping with me. But I still need you telling me clear and strong in my ear, Reg, don't forget the truth. Amen. Nothing precious has been taken away that the Father has not kept for you. The enemy can't destroy your real treasure. And I may need somebody to tell me in that moment that I'm still a son of the Father, and the Father is still my true Father. And that whatever the enemy intended through that moment of destruction, God has real good plans. Now that Jeremiah 29:11. God still has good plans for me that this event did not destroy. And it may have changed the path of expectation. I thought the plans were this way. Father, I thought I was going to grow old with this person. I thought this would be my friend for the next 30, 40, 50 years. I thought I would always live in this house that I grow up in. I thought I would always have this career. I thought. And God would say, well, you thought wrong, but my plans for you are still good. My plans for you are still loving. And if you could see all the detail of my plan, if you could, you would be delighted at what I've thought for you. So in faith, I need you to remind each other of that at the moment of loss, at the moment of sorrow. I need you to speak the truth clearly to each other. With joy. If we're going to grow this mindset of thankfulness, even though Paul didn't use the word in this passage, that's what this is about. You know, I remember, and I know I've shared this many times before, but the group of believers that played the most powerful impact in my life and took me out of incredible slavery to the occult and into a joyful walk with God. The single thing, well, I can't say that because there were two. That one of the two things that most impressed me about these people was their constant joyfulness in Christ. These were people that were happy to belong to Jesus. And it came out of their mouth. They said so. And they said it frequently. And it showed on their face. And it showed in their attitude. And it showed by all the things they said. And it showed by all the things they didn't say. That I didn't hear the complaining and the complaining and the complaining. In fact, one of the things that I remember this week. Always afraid of saying too many details. Anyway, one person sitting in my office this week who said, I'm really thankful to God for all the ways He's blessed me. But. So now that she got the thankfulness out of the way, then she proceeded to describe all the ways that God was falling down on the job. And all the ways He was letting her down. And all the ways that He was not being loving. And all the ways He was not answering prayer. Now, it is true that what this woman's facing, there are some real sorrows and tragedies in her life. That is true. It is not true that God stopped being faithful always and in all things. That is not true. So as soon as she dismissed thankfulness as a thing to just get out of the way to prove you're a Christian who's read the Bible, and then you go to your real thinking and thankfulness is no longer there, then we're living and thinking a lie and we can't enjoy God. We can't grow in joy. We can't express joy. By the way, the other thing this group that impacted me so much was just their love. So they were just intrinsically combined, their love and their joy. That gets to be your witness to the people around you. Parents, that gets to be your witness to your children. That they should be able to say, Mom and Dad are joyful about their walk with God. Do they struggle? Yes. Are they confused sometimes? Absolutely. Are they blown away by the last bill they opened? Yes, sometimes that happens. Do they face life with some sorrows and some tragedies, with some grief? Yes. And then they take those to God, and then what we hear coming out of their mouth is joyful praise and thankfulness because they believe their Father is getting ready to show them how He's faithful. And He might do it in a different way than they expect. And they could even deal with that and then still come back to thankfulness. Well, Father, this isn't what we expected. But you're still worthy of our thankfulness. You're still going to prove faithful. That's what your co-workers, that's what your brothers and your sisters, that's what your parents. Kids, if you're a believer, your parents should be lifted up by you growing in joy and thankfulness. This is not just older to younger. This is in every direction, up and down and back and forth. If you're a believer and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you will encourage and lift somebody up by speaking the truth of God's faithfulness with genuine thankfulness. Now, I know that in an alternate universe, it's not yet noon, so we're going to keep going. But since we got one foot in this universe, I'll try to make it quick. That He also says we're under His provision.
Look at 1 Peter 5. Actually, in 1 Peter 5, let's start at verse 6.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. And in one way, this is where our stand as a diplomat of the kingdom of God is different than a diplomat for the United States. Because a diplomat in the United States, the president can call and say, I need you to bite the bullet on this one. I need you to take this. I need you to go under. And as a representative of our nation, I'm going to sacrifice you. And I'd like you to be willing to do it. And that diplomat could say, well, what's in it for me? And at the human level, the president could go, nothing. Not a thing. You're just going to die. And your happy dying thought will be, you did it for me. And then you're dead. And that's all you get. Goodbye. That's not true for us. The God said, I actually care for you. And you can't lose in my kingdom, as we just talked about, under his protection. We can't lose. So I can bring every care to him. And he will actually care about every detail of what I bring. He may not always do what I'm expecting. He may not do what I ask. But he's promising, if it matters to you, bring it to me. And I've heard so many Christians, I know you have too. I've heard so many Christians say, well, this is too small to pray about. Or, you know, I don't want to bother God with this. And what he's saying here is, don't even think that. Throw that thought away as a lie from the enemy, because if it matters to you, bring it to me. Now, don't bring it to me as if you're my master and you're going to tell me as God what to do about it. But bring it to me as a child to a parent who will really care about it, and then trust my wisdom. Trust my wisdom. But absolutely bring it. There's nothing too trivial. I've heard so many kids talk about praying for tests. I know I mentioned this when we did talk about thankfulness. I remember this. I am so thankful that when I prayed, God helped me take tests. And sometimes maybe he helped me remember what I studied. Sometimes he helped the teacher postpone the test. You know, there were a thousand ways God answered that prayer. But it mattered to go to God and say, Father, you're directing my life. You know where you're taking me. If this test matters to where you're taking me, I am going to trust you to help me do what's necessary for the future you're preparing. Now, I'd like an A and I'd like 100, but what I'm asking for is what's necessary to accomplish your purposes based on your good plans for me. You get to pray that about everything. About everything. And because we're a diplomat and we represent his kingdom,
for his purposes. And for that, I'm not doing this on purpose. Go to Romans 8.
There will never be a time we've read this promise too much. Let's start at verse 26. But we'll get there. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that first part, that God's saying, you and I, we don't even have the wisdom to pray completely for ourselves. We do get to pray, but we don't have sufficient knowledge or wisdom to cover the full breadth of what should be spoken to God on our behalf. And he says, guess what I do? My Spirit intercedes for you. My Spirit knows my will, knows my plans for your life. I know the purposes I'm seeking to accomplish in you, and my Spirit is constantly interceding on your behalf. And in fact, a few verses later, he says that Jesus himself is personally interceding with the Father on your behalf. This is an incredible description he's giving us. That here's the Father saying, I love him. I love her. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I have a good plan for them. And here's the Holy Spirit constantly saying, then here's what he needs. Here's what she needs. Here's what we got to prevent. Here's what we got to stop. Here's what we got to lift up. Here's what we got to nourish. Here's the plan of the enemy that we just got to absolutely put a brake on. And then there's Jesus doing the same thing, saying that here's what he needs. Here's what she needs. Here's what we're going to provide. Here's what we're going to remove. Here's the boundaries we're going to put in place. Here's what we will do on behalf of the good purposes that we're all in agreement on, Father, Son, and Spirit, to accomplish in your life as a son or daughter of God. We need to know that we are at the center of his purposes, and he's interceding on our behalf, on behalf of those purposes. And those purposes are about our eternal transformation into the likeness of God. And that is a joyful purpose. You are destined
You, personally, if you're a believer, you are destined. It is going to occur. Nothing can stop this. One day, you will resemble the full character of Jesus Christ. That is an absolutely certain day. And that day will be complete on the day you stand in His presence and He welcomes you and He calls the day of your arrival, whether you're raptured or whether you die, He calls that a precious day. That on that day, the work will be finished. But our joyfulness, part of our joyfulness here on the planet is, but I'm aiming for that purpose now. I'm cooperating for that. I'm under your purposes now. I can give thanks in all things in the name and authority and power and purpose and the position under the protection and the provision of Jesus Christ. That's joyfulness for me. That's joyfulness for me. That's joyfulness for you. That this stuff is all true for us. This isn't just of 1 hour of Walt Disney fantasy. This is the real thing. And the more joyfully we live it, the more the guy next to us or the woman next to us at work or in our family or even in church, the more joyfully we live that, the more they're going to believe when we say, I have some good news for you. And they're going to say, I bet you do. I bet you do. You're doing something and you're living something and you're knowing something different than what I'm living and what I'm knowing. And they may or may not be ready to receive it. But your life, your joy, your thankfulness will be a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit that lets them know this is the real thing. Let's pray. Father, we have every reason in the world, every reason in the universe to be thankful. And it is true that you've accomplished incredible things for every one of us. Father, there is nobody in this room that has not been the recipient of your love. And even if there's people in this room that aren't even believers yet, Father, you've already said in your word repeatedly that you love them. And that's why you're calling them to repentance. That's why you're calling them to Jesus Christ. That's why you're calling them to this salvation and this love relationship with you, is because you already love them. Father, you said repeatedly and clearly in your word, you loved us while we were your enemies. You loved us while we were against you and ignoring you. So none of us in this room have to fear that you don't love us. Our only question, Father, is what do we do with your love? Do we respond to it? And Father, first of all, I pray for every one of us who's already accepted your Son's death as the full sacrifice that paid for our sin. Help us to respond with thankfulness. To recognize that you didn't just save us and then go sit in heaven and wait for us. You are active every second of every day. Father, every second of every day, you are powerfully proactive in our lives. To protect us, to bless us, to provide for us, to teach us, to correct us when we need it, even to discipline us when we need it. But always in love, always doing something that we get to thank you for. And Father, even when you allow the evil of this world to do damage against us, even when you allow Satan and his forces themselves to directly touch our lives, we will never be away from your protection or your purposes. So that even in that, Father, we can seek for your purpose. Cling to your purpose and give thanks that even in that evil, you're still accomplishing your good purpose. Mm-hmm. Father, help us to see the universe the way it really is. Mm-hmm. And Father, if there's anyone here who still lives in the old dead universe, if there's anyone here who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ, who doesn't live in confidence of your love and your care and your provision, your protection, then Father, all of us together as the body of Christ, we lift them up to you for your Spirit to pursue them. For your Spirit to speak to them. For them to see the joy that is available, the peace, the forgiveness, the mercy that is available in Jesus Christ. That they then get to live a life in the name and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ as well. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.